Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I'm J.D. Watt here with a wake-up call conversation. Delighted to be with Terabeth Leach, who is a pastor at the Good Shepherd Church in Chicagoland. She's an author. She has recently published a book that we've gotten to be a part of called The Great Morning Revolution, Daily Spiritual Practices for Meaningful Moments with God. Got it right here. And we wanted to, it just seemed fitting when our podcast is called The Wake Up Call. We talk to somebody about the morning, Terabeth. So thanks for the time today. I know you've got a lot going on, but I know you've already had the great morning revolution today. And one of the things I say, I pastor a very small church in rural Arkansas. And I say it over and over and over, and they now finish my sentence. I say, church, if you want to win the day, they'll say, you got to win the morning. And that's what you've done in this book. So I want to know, for starters, like, how did this come about? How did this, I imagine there's a massively long journey behind this book, and love just to hear some of the backstory of it.
Yeah, it sure did have a long, massive story behind it, and one that was really painful. But God did not waste an ounce of that painful journey in the wilderness. In 2020, I was living in Southern California, and life was good. We woke up every morning to the cackling parrots of Pasadena, the San Gabriel Mountains, hiking trails, you know, an hour from the beach and the ocean. I was pastoring a church. My husband was working for NASA's JPL, and we all know what happened in 2020. We experienced it, and at the same time, we were navigating a pandemic. In the month of February, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, which later was progressed to frontal temporal dementia. And my family lost their home, which this home was not just any home. It was a 40-acre horse farm with a gazebo on it where my husband and I got married. It was the home where 30 people descended every Thanksgiving to celebrate Thanksgiving. It was, you know, just every part of the home had meaning to it. And I had no idea that my parents were in financial crisis, and that everything beneath the surface was crumbling. And so my husband and I felt called to move back to Chicagoland to care for my parents, which we did do. And I found myself in a really liminal space. I had 10 months before my dad died, and then we moved my mother in who has dementia. We actually just recently moved her out. She's in hospice right now. But I went through a real spiritual crisis during that time when we moved back to Chicagoland. And I called it a winter of the soul. And it felt just so symbolic, too, because we were in the middle of a polar vortex of Chicago. It was cold. It was bitter. And I was waking up most mornings completely despondent, not knowing who I was, what I was doing. I was waking up most mornings and going about my day pretty haphazard. I loved the Lord. I knew God. Of course, I prayed. But there was just a darkness in my path, and I just couldn't see which way was up or down or left or right. And about a couple years going through this, there was one cold day in January where actually that scripture verse that you just read from Ephesians, J.D., the Lord spoke over me.
Wow.
Yep. Lord spoke that over me, and Terabeth, it's time to wake up. Rise from the dead. Wake up, O sleeper. And I knew that God was calling me to a spiritual awakening that I had been droning on for far too long. I had been moving about my life haphazardly for far too long, and that God wanted more. God wanted to take me to a new level of a fresh awakening every single day. And so I started setting my alarm for 4:30 a.m. every single morning. And the first morning I woke up and kind of twiddled my thumbs for a moment and was excited. I was like, okay, God told me. I mean, I have heard from the Lord, so this is a big deal. The Lord has spoken to me. I heard clearly, so surely God has something for me about these mornings. And so I started journaling and praying and reading scripture, and every single morning, a freshness and a newness. I mean, instantly, JD, like instantly,
yeah.
there was a renewal happening within my bones. God was reviving me. And I started to say to my husband, today's going to be a great day. And he'd say, why? I'd say, you know what? My dad, he's still dead. My mom still has dementia, and life isn't perfect right now, but it's a great day because I began with God and I experienced the blessings of God. So no matter what comes my way, no matter what I experience, no matter what hardship I face, it's a great day because I am walking in the blessings and the newness of the Spirit of the living God. And eventually, GREAT became this acronym in which now how I order my mornings, which stands for gratitude, reflection, exaltation, asking, and trusting. And so this is a practice I've been doing for a few years now, and it has changed my life. I didn't begin this practice because I wanted to write a book. It was a practice for me. And I happen to be one of those people that, like, when I really enjoy something, I really like something, I tell the world about it. You know, like, if
right.
I really like a coffee place, I'm like, everyone, you need to try this coffee place right now. There's no coffee on this earth that is greater than this coffee. And I started to be like, that was my prayer routine. I'd be like, you guys, you've got to wake up early. You've got to try this. Gratitude, reflection, exaltation. And people, I noticed when I would tell people, they say, wait, say it again. They'd write it down. And then other people around me started practicing it with me. And I was talking to my literary agent about this. And he's like, hey, I think we got something here. Maybe you should write about it. It helped you. Maybe it'll help others. And so here we are.
Yes, that's good. That's so good. It's memorable. And it's practical, and it's moving, it's going somewhere. And, mm-hmm. and that's the thing, you know, people want to do this and they don't often know what to do, mm-hmm. and they meander and they amble around and it's not consistent, mm-hmm. and ultimately it loses traction. And, you know, I think this is such great timing because, well, A, we're heading, you know, as we're talking, we're heading into Advent, but of course, that's the beginning of the Christian year. But then there's the January 1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the average New Year's resolution survives until like February the 4th. But what you're giving here is something that you can build a little bit of muscle memory and a little bit of, not, I don't want to say routine. Routine's not a bad word, but it can become a mindless thing. So why don't you walk us through each one of those letters, G-R-E-A-T? You said their meanings, but like, what's the sort of digest on each of them?
Yeah. So gratitude is starting the posture of beginning with God. When we begin with God, when we sit in the presence of God, out of that flows an abundance of gratitude. How could it not? Whenever we're just in that sweet, kind, gentle, loving, gracious, holy presence of God. And so for me, the way that, so by the way, I my husband and I now practice this prayer routine together. We rise early together and we go downstairs and we travel down to the couch. We turn on the fireplace now that it's winter, and we sit and we begin together. And so we'll usually have worship music playing in the background, and we'll just sit for a moment and then close our eyes and become aware and attuned to the presence of God. God, here am I. God, here are you. You are so good. And then out of that flows gratitude. God, I have so much to be grateful for on this day. How fortunate am I that I have this fireplace roaring next to me when it is cold outside, winter is coming. I'm so grateful, God, that I have such a loving husband that is eager and excited to begin with you, with me, together. God, I'm so grateful that my boys had a, you know, we'll just flow back and forth. If I'm not doing it with Jeff, I'll usually write it down and I'll make a list of those things that I'm grateful. And I just allow myself to bask in that goodness. It's It's a pausing. It's a savoring.
Yeah. You know what else it is? It's a gate. I will enter his gates
with thanksgiving, and praise.
Giving in my heart.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Yes, that is exactly what's going on.
Going through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, R.
R is reflect. And so for reflection, the idea of that is exactly what it sounds like. Reflect, when you look in a mirror, you're reflecting back at yourself. But when we reflect back at ourselves, the reflection, we are looking at our lives in the presence of God and asking God to reveal within us any blemish, any darkness, anything that is keeping us from living in his fullness. So my husband and I, for this, we begin with scripture. We read scripture first. And out of the scripture reading, then we begin to examine our hearts. God, is there anything that you've revealed to us in scripture that is shining a light on the darkness or brokenness of my own life that you are asking more of me? God, is there any place that you want to do surgery? Is there any place that you want to shape or transform? And so we allow the word to reflect on our lives so that we can be renewed by the renewed.
Yes. So I'm curious, how do you choose a text? Is there a pattern there that you're working through?
Yeah. So we read a passage in the gospel, and then we go into the Old Testament. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and then we read a psalm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, what that really feels like, it's a little bit of an examen of sorts. You're like...
Absolutely. Yeah, and I talk about that in the book as well, just the St. Ignatius prayer of examine, of examining our hearts and asking God to reveal anything within us that is not bringing him glory.
Yeah, I think about even wake up, sleeper. That's step one. And now you've stepped into rising from the dead.
Amen.
Transfer. I call it consecration transformation.
Love it. Love it.
And
yes.
Then demonstration, the light, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yes. So then, keep
then
going.
Then into exalt. Either we'll play a worship song and we'll sing along to it, or we'll read a psalm of praise. So our go-to is Psalm 145. Just a great, great psalm of praise. And so we usually kind of do one of those. Sometimes if we're doing this practice on a walk, which we'll sometimes do, we'll do a morning walk if it's beautiful out, we will lift up words of praise. God, you are majestic and mighty, and in you all things, all creation is held together in your power and your might.
Yeah, and it's, you really have to be conscious to do this, because you are fixing your eyes on God.
That's right.
You've kind of, it's almost like you've kind of gotten a little bit awake. You've been thankful. You've been thinking, but then it's like you've gone up to the window and you're wiping it off. You're getting the fog off, the streaks off, and now you're like we're focusing on the God of heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. We're getting him in our sights, in our hearts.
Exactly. Yeah, and so then we move into ask. Those are prayers of petition. And, you know, prayers of petition are more about what God wants to do in us. It's more about the revelation that God wants to do in us, or the movement that God wants to do in us. And so, you know, there's a reason why Jesus calls us to pray for our enemies. It's not so they'll change. It's so that God can do a miracle in us, that we won't be holding on to bitterness. And so we'll often, you know, pray for our boys during that time, pray for our family. We always are praying for renewal and revival within the people that we lead, for fresh outpouring. You know, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to establish our steps for that day, to guide us, to help us to be aware of his presence as we are communing with others, as we're with others, and praying for alignment.
Yes. And then trust, G-R. So I just want to keep kind of grooving this into people. Gratitude, reflection, exalting, mm-hmm. asking, and trusting. Mm-hmm. Talk about that last piece.
Yeah. Trust is that moment of surrender. Not my will, but yours. Be done, Lord. And our favorite way to end with trust is reading Psalm 23. Psalm 23 just does something in my soul every yeah. time. I mean, every morning it's like it's relief. So I've gone through this time of prayer of petition, of asking, and there's this angst within me because I'm, you know, please, Lord, please, I'm pleading. I'm asking for alignment. I'm asking for outpouring. And as this just holy angst and discontentment rises up into me, then I get to trust and I surrender that.
Yeah.
I surrender that and I give it to God. And it's just such a holy resting point.
Yeah, I even hear in that progression, I hear Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, right? He starts mm-hmm. off by saying, nothing is impossible with you.
Yeah.
That's exalting God.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm going to ask you, let this cup of suffering pass me by. And then he trusts, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure you've seen this a million times. I'm sure this is some of the inspiration here, but I've always marveled at how in the Gospels, I think it's in Mark for sure, where it says very carefully, it says very early in the morning, Jesus got up, left the house and went to a solitary place to pray. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
The morning. Why the morning?
Yeah. What strikes me about that passage too is this was after the day before having a really full day of ministry.
Like 150 miracles right there in Mark, yeah. you know, one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes, like, I don't know about you, JD, but after a really long day, don't you kind of be like, I deserve to sleep in tomorrow.
Sleep in.
Yes, I deserve it. I've earned it.
At least till 8, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah, for me, sleeping in is 7. I feel amazing if I can sleep until 7. But
no.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, very early in the morning, and we see
while it was
examples.
Still dark, it
while
said.
It was still dark. While it was still dark. And we see other examples of that. Scripture is anytime anything happens early in the morning, we see a consistent theme of it saying very early in the morning. Abraham woke early in the morning. Moses rose early in the morning. We see this with Jesus. And the Psalms talk a lot also about early morning prayer. There's a number of different places. And I believe it's because there's something in the biology that is very true that's happening in our brains. Lamentations says that his mercies are new every morning. How many times, JD, have you gone to bed with just the weight of the world on your shoulders and the stress, and you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. It's because there is a renewing that is happening in our sleep, which means in the morning, our brains, our minds, our souls are a blank canvas, untouched from the stress and the anxiety and the agenda of the day. And so God has a blank canvas to work with us. And unfortunately, you know, for us, we have these devices, these little rectangular devices that we're reaching for them. And we're allowing these things to inform these moments, these very tender moments while our brains are still a blank canvas. And Jesus knew that before he moved on about his day of being poured out, he needed to begin with God.
Yes. I mean, there's something about sleep, of course, that is, it's divine, even though God doesn't sleep, right?
Yes.
He neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's so we can sleep.
Yes.
And every night, I had that same sense of you that, like, I realized the last word every day, the thing I was giving my last word to was, like, Netflix. Mm-hmm. And my first word would be like Instagram or Facebook or text or an email. And I'm like, my first word was Instagram or text. My last word was Netflix. And I'm like, well, the problem isn't Instagram and text and Netflix. The problem is my own priority. And I decided that at that point, I'm giving God the first word and the last word at minimum. And so even if I do, I still watch a Netflix, but I'm not giving it the last word. I'll say every night, I think it's Psalm 16:8, maybe it says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And I just have this faith that he's talking to me all night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's just something that is amazing that happens in our sleep. There is a renewing, a refreshing, a rewiring, a healing.
And in the morning, I'm like,
how could we not begin with gratitude?
What is it? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, I don't know. I'm of course, yeah, wake up call. I'm like, win the morning, right? Want to win the day, got to win the morning. And I'll have people write me and they're like, well, I'm not a morning person. I'm like, well, I'm not either. but they'll say, well, I do the wake up call at night. And I'm like, and I'll spin it for them and I'll say, well, you know, in the Bible and Genesis, the day starts at night. The creation day begins at night, right? Evening, morning, first day. But I still believe with you, we can't let go of the morning. It doesn't, even if it's not very early.
Right. No, we just can't. Yeah. Some people work third shift, you know, and so it's going to look very different. The point is when we wake up with intention and purpose and create a sacred time and space to begin with God.
Create the space. Mm-hmm. We're just pleading with people, aren't we? If you create the space, he will meet you there.
He will. He will.
So tell me about Brittany Leach Hibden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is my husband's first cousin and tragically died. And when we, she's a mom of two boys and was a very godly woman, loved the Lord. And while at her funeral service, person after person got up and talked about her early morning routine. She was waking up every single morning at 4:30 a.m. and was beginning with God. And she had kind of just started like this thing, she had convinced everyone else to do it with her. And they were talking about a book called The Miracle Morning. And so after the funeral, I came home and I ordered that book and read it and was just so inspired by her life. And she was one of the ones that inspired me to do this.
And that's who you dedicated the book to.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for writing the book. I mean, anybody who's written a book knows it's a super lonely exercise. It's painful. It's long. But something about this book, it just flowed out, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It did. It did. Yeah. Yeah. It's a testimony. And again, JD, I kind of have a feeling you're probably the same. I think this is a pastor thing. We just, when we get excited about something, we want to tell everyone about it, especially if it's changed our life. And when it has to do with Jesus, you know, I just want to tell everyone.
Yes. So talked about how the book was born in a season of desperation and darkness. Talk a little bit about what's happened in your soul. Mm-hmm. In the ensuing years. I know you're still in it. I mean,
yeah, there has been a raising and a lifting. And I was actually just telling someone yesterday, I said, I just feel like I'm in the prime of my life right now. And I believe it's because there has been such a holy alignment. God has aligned me with the mind and the heart of God. And yeah, like there's been some difficult things going on. I mean, actually, to be totally transparent, JD, I had a really stressful morning. My mom is in hospice and, you know, we're I mentioned that they were in financial ruin and we're currently subsidizing her $3,000 a month right now. And it's this morning I woke up feeling, you know, just like the weight of that and the stress of that.
Yeah.
You know, I was, Jeff and I were counting numbers and crunching numbers, trying to figure out like how we're going to get through this, you know, and she's been on hospice since May, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And at the same time, I know that in these moments, I sit at the community of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn.
Yes.
There's blessing.
Yeah.
Not because my external circumstances are perfect.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, everything is as it should be, that we have everything, you know, materially that we need.
Yeah.
But because I sit in the presence of God and I can say, it is well with my soul. And I trust, you know, my husband and I, we were praying, and Jeff's like, you know, he's like, God is going to provide. We're going to figure this out. God is going to provide. And God, we trust you. We look to you and we believe in your provision.
Yes. That's I so resonate with that. My father is in that dementia dynamic, and it's just so heartbreaking. And I know you're in your own life. It just feels like one tragic season leads to another one.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming. And I don't know about you. I mean, I hear Jesus saying, like, you know, you're going to have trouble. And yet I'm still surprised by it every time.
Right.
It keeps surprising me.
I know.
But then he says, I've overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that great hymn that you referenced, that's what I just had that epiphany with that hymn, even like, because it doesn't feel well with my soul, but no. Thou hast taught me to say,
yes, it is well with my soul.
And I think about that text in Habakkuk, right? Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. And it's just full stop.
Hmm.
And you just wrote it. You just wrote it all the way to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
yet I
will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I'm like, that is a move.
Yeah.
And then where he goes, he says, this is to me what you learn right there at that place. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And you realize that, no, he doesn't give me strength. That was before.
He is my strength. He doesn't give me bread. He is my daily bread.
He doesn't
give me water. He is my living water.
The move, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And that's a hard thought. I mean, there's people listening right now who are like, blah, 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 blah. But then there's a lot of people listening. They're like, you got my attention. What do you say to them in that kind of a moment?
Yeah, yeah. Be aware. If your attention is caught, I always say the Holy Spirit is like a highlighter. And, you know, I'm always amazed at what people get from my sermons, for example, or podcasts. And I'm always like, did I say that?
Exactly.
Wait a second, you know.
It's called revelation.
Yes. The Holy Spirit is doing something. Pause and ask what God is doing in you and what God wants to say to you.
Yes. I resonate so much with your story. I've been through that. I've been through it. I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things the Lord is, he's taught me and he's teaching me, he keeps trying to get me to understand this, is he says, stop saying, help me, and start saying, have me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Have me, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep me, hold me, carry me.
And you know what he's also teaching me? He's saying, Stop saying, I need you, and start saying, I want you.
Love it.
I want
I love it. Yeah.
That's a different move, isn't it?
It is. We need vegetables. We don't always want vegetables.
Well, man, thanks for hanging out with us here today. And I do want to encourage everybody listening. December is the moment. Well, it's right at the end of November when we're talking, but you probably will hear this in December. And you just want to go. You can go to Seedbed. You can go to Amazon. Do you know what I heard? You can go to Walmart and get this book. What a blessing.
Beginning November 30th to the end of January.
To Walmart. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. That's a God thing to get that book in Walmart.
It's such a God thing. It doesn't even feel real.
And so I'm going to hold it up again here. The Great Morning Revolution. Daily Spiritual Practices for Meaningful Moments with God by Tara Beth Leach. And Tara Beth Leach is the kind of person, you know, she's a pastor like me. She's a pastor in small. She has a group of people who don't think she's that special.
No.
And who she leads week in and week out and day in and day out. And that's what qualifies her, by the grace of God, to be a pastor at large, right? She has a flock of people beyond, and they think she's like a superstar celebrity, amazing woman of God, and she is, but that's why you should listen to her, okay? She's not she's not a celebrity.
Mm-mm. Come to my church and listen to how my people roast me.
She's not a face on a podcast. She's a real person, and you've really gotten a feel for that today. And that's who you want to follow. You want to follow real people who have tasted real pain and who are living to tell about it.
Thank you.
Okay, so Tara Beth, this is just three or four quick ones. One book besides Scripture that you return to again and again.
Paul, the Spirit and the People of God by Gordon D. Fee.
Gordon Fee, the great Pentecostal theologian.
I have a deep love for Gordon Fee and a number of his books, but Paul, the Spirit and the People of God, just the book has tears in it and highlights and written all over it, and I go back to it at least once a year.
Good deal. Your favorite place to pray?
Right now, it's my family room on my couch next to the fireplace.
Fireplace, yeah. What is a hymn or a worship song that always recenters your heart?
Give me Jesus. And, you know, one of the reasons why is, you know, that song, when my mom was living with us, and she was really declining with dementia, you know, music does wonders. And every single morning she'd come down and make her breakfast, and I would turn on that song, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And she would light up. She would stand up. She would lift her hands in praise. And she just, that one song got her. And also, it is a soul cry. It is a heart cry. In the morning when I rise, you can have all this world. You can have all the riches. Give me Jesus.
It's also a cry song.
Yeah.
And when I go to die.
Oh,
it's powerful.
Yeah.
It's a mover. So, is it coffee or tea for you?
Coffee.
Yeah. And how early? You said you get up at, you've got the alarm set. You probably don't even need the alarm anymore.
No, we don't need the alarm. But it's, you know what, right now, the season in life that we're in, we're waking up at 6.
Yes. Okay, good. We're not laying that heavy burden at 4:30 on anybody, are we?
No. For some people, it's going to be a testimony when you're telling people you're waking up at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what I tell people a lot. I'm like, guys, if this feels too hard, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Jesus said, my yoke is easy.
Burden is light.
And so reset with him. Say, what time, right. Jesus, what time would you like to meet with me in the morning? Right. And just like have a playful trust that he might even give you a time.
That's right.
And just go with it. Well, thank you, Tara Beth. And thank you for writing the book. Thank you for what you're doing, you know, up close and at a distance. It's mattering. It's adding up to something. And, you know, finishing that verse, what's what I see happening in you is he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Mm. He enables me to go on the heights. Mm. That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
So we're going to be excited to see that too.
Thank you, JD. Thank you.
Yeah. So, y'all, another way that we've gotten to know Tara Beth over the years is she has spoken two different times at our New Room conference. And she came most recently to our one we had this past fall. Anything you want to say about that, Tara Beth?
Man, you go somewhere to be open and available and to minister. And boy, my husband came with me and we're still in the glow. We were ministered to. We stayed the whole of the conference. We sat in every session and we drank from a deep well of wisdom and intercessory prayer and entering into the throne room with of people who all, just to be in a room with people with that kind of common shared hunger is such a gift. I love New Room.
Yeah.
It is honestly, I speak at a lot of conferences and different places, and New Room is my favorite. Don't tell anyone else.
My gosh. I'm glad we got that on the recorder.
Yeah.
We're going to be putting that one out in the material. We just won't send it to any of those other conferences.
Yes, don't tell anyone.
So thanks for that. Now you are going to be, I mean, as I mentioned a minute ago, 11 years ago, Tara Beth, 11 years ago, I started writing every day, and it's kind of like Forrest Gump, you know, when he started running, you just start. And so
kept writing and writing,
just kept on and kept on. And so I'm still doing it. It's called The Wake Up Call. And you have agreed to come on to The Wake Up Call in the first six days of Christmas. Advent's good, right? Mm-hmm. But Advent's for Christmas. And we're looking forward to hosting you there and for you leading our flock. It's a morning thing. So
I'm so looking forward to that. Thank you for that privilege and that gift to be able to share my heart, my journey on morning prayer and hearing from God and experiencing God. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes. And I would love for you to just kind of groove us some in the great morning revolution practice. You've got the freedom to coach us up as we're headed into, you know, January 1 and a new calendar year. So thank you for, that's going to be December 26th, day after Christmas. And that's the thing. A lot of people think in our culture, like Christmas is a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, actually, no, it's a feast. It's a feasting. It's 12 days.
We sing the song on the first day of Christmas.
Exactly.
Told you I wasn't going to sing, and I just sang.
this is going to become a limited edition Wake Up Call conversation. Because
there you go.
She doesn't sing, but she sang here. So anyway, thanks for that, and we're looking forward to it. And how about can we in the Wake Up Call community pray for you right now?
I'd love that.
Yeah. So everybody, you're out there and maybe you're seeing this on YouTube or you're hearing it on a podcast platform. I just want you to just extend your hand toward Tara Beth as a sign of blessing. because our sense is clearly the Lord's hand is on you, and you have walked through some hard seasons of wilderness, and Jesus, we thank you for this woman of God, this mom, this daughter, this wife, this friend, friend of yours, friend of ours, friend of many. And we do, we just almost prophesy over her. He makes your feet like the feet of a deer. He enables you to go on the heights. It's like I sense Psalm 40 rising up. He lifted me up. He's lifting you up out of the pit, out of the mire and the clay. He is set your feet upon a rock. He's giving you a firm place to stand. In fact, he's putting a new song in your mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You have decreed it, Jesus, and now we declare it over Terabeth. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Sower Nation said, Amen.
Thank you.
Man,
I received that.
The Lord led us in that.
Mm.
Why should we be surprised?
God is so good. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on this Wake Up Call conversation with Terabeth Leach. It's been a blessing. I know you've been encouraged. And be sure and grab that resource and get your seeds. We'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.